Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Rise and shine. It's time for hour two of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Kay Constable, in for Jake today. And in this segment, we will get into the craziness that was college football over the weekend, including all three of the top teams remaining undefeated. But boy, did it get exciting for Indiana down the stretch. One of the best catches you'll ever see in the end zone for Omar Guber Jr. And Indiana gets the job done with 36 seconds left. And here's how it went down.
In trouble! It's out! Touchdown! Wow! A wild call play! Unbelievable!
All right, so I feel like I need subtitles on that, and I do need to explain what's really going on, because this was a great pass from Fernando Mendoza to the back of the end zone, and Omar Cooper Jr. doing the toe drag swag. What a thrilling finish. And of course, Indiana still hoping for one of those top spots in the college football playoff. Kate, Indiana has become one of my favorite teams to watch.
They're so fun. And after last season, a lot of other people thought, can they continue what they did last year? Can they continue having that type of success? I mean, this is an Indiana program. When was the last time Indiana was good? People didn't even show up for their games. The stands were empty. And now Indiana, among the top two teams with Ohio State in the Big Ten, likely on a path to the Big Ten championship and the college football playoff. Like, this is a really fun Indiana team. And I think Kurt Cignetti, their head coach, makes it even a little bit more interesting, because his postgame quotes or media session quotes are often pretty fun too. The Google me, all of that. So this is just a cool team to watch. I didn't think they were going to be able to pull it out against Penn State. I thought that was going to be their first loss of the season, but you get a Cooper touchdown, like you said, the little toe tap in the end zone, and it is a W for Indiana. Pretty impressive.
It feels like when teams have like magical runs, there's a few of these wins kind of peppered in. And sometimes we talk about this phrase on the show, and we call it the team of destiny, where we gave this crown to multiple teams throughout the postseason in baseball. And I think we were wrong on just about all of them. But let me ask you, does it feel like this is a team of destiny this year for Indiana?
I mean, a little bit, but also like not really because of the success that they had last season. Like if this was the run that they were making, and I know they did go like win a ton of games last year, but if this was the first year we saw them play like this and they made it to the college football playoff, and well, maybe last year was the team of destiny, and this year is just the team we thought that they could be, or they're playing up to expectations this year. If you can beat Ohio State, then maybe I'll change my tune, because I think Ohio State is clearly the number one in the conference. You drop down to a second tier, it's Indiana by themselves, and then a third tier, and it's a couple other of those Oregons, those, dare I say, USC, which is crazy that they're, you know, only a couple losses. So different tiers, but certainly Indiana's close to the top of those.
Well, and especially when you're talking about a college football playoff where it is a one game sample size, where am I going to stand here and say Indiana does not have a chance against Ohio State? No. Like right now, the numbers, I feel like, favor Ohio State more, just because across the board, they have the best receiver in the country. You know, Julian Sand completing like what, a crazy amount of his passes. Like, I think it's close to like 80%, something wild like that. Their defense is crazy talented, but Indiana's good too. And it feels like they have had to prove it to everybody, as opposed to Ohio State, where it's just kind of handed the credit, where it's like, okay, Ohio State is here. They got their preseason top five ranking, but Indiana has had to prove a lot of doubters wrong, so they will have to continue to do so. But it's been a great season, and this is a very talented squad. And a win is a win is a win. Even if it's against a Penn State team that was down and out, this is still a good road win for Indiana. And as we saw over the weekend, road wins are not the easiest to come by. Kate, I know it was a heartbreaker for your team, Iowa, over the weekend, where it's pouring rain. Oregon ekes it out 18-16. Let me ask you this. What do you think is ideal football weather? Because I think everybody has a different definition of this. If you are somebody who is old school and likes defense and running the football, you say, okay, I want snow. I want elements. I want it to be a little cold, maybe a little rain or sleet coming down. For me, this is not what I prefer, but what is football weather to you?
I love like a crisp fall day football weather. I don't love the rain or the snow. I just want it to be clean conditions, but a little chilly out there where maybe the guy's got the long sleeves on, the compression shirts, all that stuff. I think that's ideal football. At least that's ideal as a fan viewing weather for football. Cause I don't want to stand in the rain. I don't want to stand in the snow for that. Maybe I'm just getting old and don't really care about that stuff anymore. But if you're Iowa football, I think you like some of the elements because that plays right into how they want to play with the defense, the grind it out, the run the ball type of stuff. But as a fan, someone watching, and if I were a player, I think the ideal conditions would be like a crisp fall day, 50s, low 60s, something like that. Because you also don't want it too hot. Like, some of these late August games, early September games, the sun's like beating down on you, and that's a lot too.
I do think it tests like a football team and how they can win games in like multiple ways, you know, because if you have a team that's like super pass heavy and, you know, say they're from the South and they're used to playing in warmer weather, you get to the college football playoff and maybe go on the road to one of these schools that are further up north. You have to play in the snow. And it's obviously a different ball game. So I think it's interesting to watch all sorts of games. Not as somebody who is in the stands, because I will be parked on my couch if it's, you know, below 40 degrees. But I do think it kind of tests team. Like, to put it in the opposite perspective, like, I don't want a sport where all of the games are indoors. I feel like that takes away an element of it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, teams that play in dome stadiums still obviously have to go on the road to cold weather games. I mean, we see it with the Dolphins every year when they have to travel to snowy conditions. They're going to lose football games. They're a team that hasn't learned how to play in cold weather. On the flip side, teams going to Miami early on in the season that aren't used to playing in that type of heat, like that's another element that gets thrown out there. So it just adds more flair to the game that I think is kind of fun. But getting older as a fan, I mean, yesterday my husband went to the Bears game and it was like 14, felt like 14 degrees. It was a little snowy. I was sitting on the couch, nice and cozy and warm. I was the smart one of the two of us, and I enjoyed watching the game that way. So that's probably going to be that makes me sound so old. Back in the day, I would have been like, you get your liquor blanket going early on, you tailgate, and you don't even care that it's like negative 10. You're having icy, slushy beers, and that's phenomenal. But no, not these days.
Yeah, that's not how I want to spend my afternoon these days. You're right. Maybe a younger version of me, but not anymore. Yeah. I want my heated blanket sitting on the couch with some hot coffee or something. That sounds like the job for me. All right, so over the weekend in the ACC, we knew things were going to get crazy in the Atlantic Coast Conference because it's been one of those week-to-week conferences it feels like every week of the season where who's going to lose, who's going to be better. We saw a couple of quote-unquote upsets. Number 14, UVA loses to Wake Forest 16-9, and the number 15, Louisville, lost to California, or Cal, 29-26 in overtime. So somebody contractually has to be in the college football playoff from the ACC. So whoever wins the conference is going to be in. Right now, here are the standings. Number 17, Georgia Tech, stands at 8-1 with a 5-1 conference record. They are 2-1 to win the ACC, followed by Virginia. Pitt, who I will say College Game Day is going to Pittsburgh this weekend for that big game against Notre Dame, followed by SMU, Duke, Louisville, and Miami. What a fall it's been for the Hurricanes. From a team that looked like a lock to be in the college football playoff, now 15-1 to win the ACC. Now, I've gone on the record before. I'm not a huge fan of the ACC as a conference, and I feel like the college football playoff committee isn't either. But I do think there are some interesting teams in here. Like, you look at Georgia Tech, and certainly we've seen how Brent Key can play against some of these top-notch competition teams where, you know, Georgia Tech standing at 8-1 right now. We know the strength of schedule has not been maybe as strong as some of these teams in the SEC, but as far as scoring goes, Haynes King and that offense can certainly light it up.
Yeah, they're really fun to watch. And Haynes King can use his legs like no other. He's such a mobile quarterback that he racks up the yards on the ground too. This, I think the ACC is going to come down to, what are we at right now? We're going into week 12. So week 13, because Pitt plays Georgia Tech week 13. And that, I think, is going to decide who has a bid to the ACC championship game. Because if Pitt beats Georgia Tech, then both of those schools have two losses, Pitt the tiebreaker, and Georgia Tech still has to play Georgia in the last week of the season. So Georgia Tech could end up with three losses, and even though they're sitting pretty right now at 8-1 overall, 5-1 in the conference, they could, I mean, if they're not careful, they could be slipping out of that top spot or a top two spot because the path forward for Virginia is pretty easy. They have Duke and Virginia Tech, so you have to imagine they're not going to lose too many more games, if at all. So a two-loss team there. So I think this could be Pitt in the title game, depending on what happens against Georgia Tech in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we'll see how they look against Notre Dame as we have a top 25 matchup this weekend for the Panthers. But I do think no matter who makes it in, I don't have a ton of faith in any of these teams really to be a true contender in the national championship picture. No. Like, maybe Georgia Tech, but their defense also, it feels like can't stop anybody. Like, they can score a lot of points, but their defense gives up a ton of big plays. So at the end of the day, like, somebody has to make it in from the ACC, but I still think we are talking about those top three teams in Ohio State, Indiana, and we haven't even mentioned Texas A&M. They improved to 9-0. A very solid defense that, man, they're good too. I feel like everybody loves to talk about Ohio State v. Indiana, but Texas A&M certainly belongs in that discussion as well.
Texas A&M, I mean, Texas Tech too in the Big 12. I think they're going to win the Big 12, be in the college football playoff. And because they come from that conference that, like the ACC, is quote unquote a down conference, people aren't quite as high on Texas Tech. But I think they're a team that should be feared in the playoff. They could, it isn't even surprising a lot of people. I don't think people should be surprised at this point. But if they, I mean, they win a game or two in the college football playoff, certainly think that that is a possibility. And back to your point on whoever comes out of the ACC, I don't have a whole lot of faith of them making a deep run in the playoff. Sure, they're going to get a team in because that's how it works, but it might be a one and done for this, for whatever school from the ACC goes.
I think matchups will matter a lot when it comes to the college football playoff. And we've seen this because there are certain teams that I feel like have really good strengths, but they'll have like one key weakness. Like when you look at Texas Tech, like their line play is really good. Their defensive line is amazing, But like the quarterback play from Baron Morton has not been something that flies off the page. Like his stats are fine, 16 touchdowns, 4 picks. But if you compare him to some of the other like passing offenses in college football, like if they match up against like Alabama and Ty Simpson and that passing attack, like that's when you start to wonder. So I think matchups will matter, and we'll see when the bracket finally comes out on how some of these things match up. You know, who's going to be match up with who. But I do think at the end of the day, like matchups will matter. And that's where those rankings really start to, you know, pull their weight. So I wanted to ask you this because it feels like a big question. How big is the gap between Indiana and Ohio State? Like, I do think maybe there is a small gap. But at the end of the day, if these two teams played head to head, I feel like it could be anybody's game.
I feel like if they played neutral site game, spread would be 3.5 in favor of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a massive gap between the two, but I do think Ohio State is the better team, and their defense is just so good. Like, how good was their defense last year? It's even better this year. Jeremiah Smith, the numbers he's putting up, like they have those superstar players that Indiana just doesn't quite have the same caliber. Like, Indiana is a great all-around football team, but they don't have the same players that pop quite like Ohio State does, and I think that's part of the difference. Ohio State also has the experience, and that's a major factor as well. I know, yes, last year Indiana made the college football playoff. You can say that's experience there, but, like, historic experience in these big moments, that obviously favors Ohio State.
Yeah. Either way, I will be tuned in. That's a matchup I would want to watch. Speaking of Monday Night Football, a matchup of two great teams, Eagles and Packers. How do we bet it? It's next on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. All right, we're off. We're running. It's a Monday, which means we have Monday Night Football tonight between the Eagles and the Packers. We'll get into our best bets here in mere moments on the show. I'm Chelsea Messenger. She's Kate Constable. Okay, let's start with this. Do you ever look at the betting splits over at BetMGM and you say, okay, please don't let me be on the public side of this game? Because I just looked, and 74% of the bets are on the Eagles getting a point in this game.
Yeah, that never makes me feel very good. Whenever I'm on the side of the public, things always seem to go wrong. It was last week, the Lions were the most bet team publicly over at BetMGM. Mm. I was all over the Lions last week, and I was all over the losses with the Lions last week. So, yeah, it always does seem like there's a couple, one or two bets that are the most public, and they seem to lose every single week. So that scares me because, Chelsea, I'm on the Eagles tonight.
Same. And that doesn't make me feel great. But I will say this. Sometimes the public does get it right. It's not, you know, all the time, but sometimes they do get it right. And I'll say this about, as I was looking through the scores yesterday, especially for the later games, holy overs, Batman. And we know that the public loves overs. Some of these final scores, 36-29, 44-22, 44-22, 42-26, until we got to Sunday Night Football, and that looked like a baseball game for half the time. Final score, Chargers 25-10 win over the Steelers. But my point being is that just because the public's on something, if you still feel strongly about it, I think you still play it.
Yeah, and I would imagine the public was all over the Lions again yesterday. I played the Lions heavily yesterday. That was clearly the right move. So it doesn't necessarily, like, I will never get off of a game because the public is all over it, but it just makes me feel a little unsettled. Like, it makes me feel like, okay, what am I missing on the sharp side or the non-public side that other people are seeing that I'm not? So we'll see kind of what happens tonight. But yeah, overs yesterday in the afternoon slate. I mean, those games were, not only the overs were hitting, but they were also over before they even got started. They were blowouts early on.
Right. And they cleared their totals by a lot. Like, they had totals in the 60s. So it was no sweat over city for a lot of those games. But I will say this, like, sometimes it makes me nervous when the public is very heavily on one side, but the line moves the opposite direction.
Yeah.
We're not seeing that in this Eagles and Packers game. So it opened where the Eagles getting a point and a half. Now it's down to the Eagles getting a mere point over at BetMGM. So the fact that those correlate, you know, it usually signals that not only is the percentage of tickets on the Eagles, but the percentage of the money. So if you're right. new here and you're wondering, what do I mean by that? Is that usually you look at the public split and you say, okay, the amount of tickets is the amount of bets. So even people who are betting, you know, $2-3 on these games, their bets count the same amount in the ticket count. But when you talk about the money, it can skew more. Say there's somebody who puts $1 million down on the Eagles. That goes to the handle. So the fact that both these things kind of correlate here, it does make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's always good to see. Whenever you get some of that reverse alignment, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in a reverse line movement, but it's a thing for a reason. Like the fact that the line moves when the money is in the opposite direction, that signals something happening. Doesn't always mean one side is right or not, but it makes you feel better if you're on the public, heavily public side when the line is also continuing to move in that side, because it's good signs that both of those are correlated.
Yeah, we could definitely get in the weeds and be like, well, there's head fakes sometimes, and sometimes they want a certain number, but that's very in the weeds, and we don't have time for that. We got a game to get to. All right, so the big matchup that we're referencing, Eagles and Packers at Lambeau, Green Bay laying a point, total of 45 and a half. So as we mentioned, a lot of the public is leaning towards the Eagles here, and it's easy to see why. The Eagles coming off a bye week, and also they added a bunch of pieces to that defense, including Jair Alexander, who won't be playing tonight just because he is still nursing an injury. It's the coach's decision. He's not going to travel. But they do have Jalen Phillips, who came over from the Dolphins, a great defensive end, an edge rusher, and also Nolan Smith returning from injured reserve to beef up that pass rush as well. And then you look at the Packers, who are coming off a game in which they did not look great. What was it, a couple games ago against the Panthers? The Panthers, I feel like, laid the game plan on how Yeah, they kind of laid the game plan on how you beat the Packers, and it's running the football. Like, Rico Dowdle had, like, what, 130 rush yards on 25 carries in that game? That's embarrassing. So now you have an Eagles offensive line that's much better, and you have a running back that's one of the best running backs in the league. I know it's not been a great year for Saquon Barkley, at least compared to last year, but still, we've seen flashes of it. So I feel like Saquon's going to take over this game a little bit, and I do think the Eagles win. So call me Joe or Jane Public, because I do like the Eagles as well.
I'm with you, Tulsa. I like the Eagles to win this one. They're a little momentum coming into this game with two straight wins. And yeah, I mean, the win in Minnesota, I think, was impressive. But the Giants win last week, like, the Giants aren't a good football team. And without Cam Scataboo, like, the Eagles should have won that game in the manner that they did. I mean, they took care of business, so that's obviously a great sign here. But I think the Eagles are the more complete team, because I still have a lot of concerns about the Packers' offense. Sure, Green Bay's defense is great. Micah Parsons has bolstered that. Who's the guy on the other side? Rashawn Gary. He's been great so far this season. Partially because Micah Parsons needs so much attention on the other side. But so I believe in the Packers' defense. I'm not sure I believe in the Packers' offense. Like, we talked in the offseason about them having a receiving core by committee, and you don't necessarily need a wide receiver one. I think they kind of do, and I don't think they know who to go to. Tucker Kraft was kind of becoming that guy early on in the season. He was playing great. He goes out last week. He's done for the season. So that's going to throw a wrench in their offense as well. And then you talk about the run game. Yeah, Saquon hasn't been great, but if Rico Dowdle can take advantage of this Packers defense, I think Saquon Barkley can also do the same. So I'm going with the Eagles here. I'll take him on the money line to win in Green Bay. I also love a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown, because remember back in the Tush Push days when the league was trying to get it banned, or there were some coaches, Green Bay was at the very forefront of that. And so I think the Eagles are going to, any chance they get, they're going to kind of say, all right, we're going to shove it to you and do a little shove on the tush push. I think Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown, that number has come down quite a bit. It was like plus 120. I think you're getting around even money for it right now, but it's still a good look.
Yeah, it's plus 115 over at BetMGM currently. I think this is going to be a very popular play because of the narrative that you mentioned, because nobody looks at Philly and says, oh, that's not a petty city, right? No, they're absolutely petty. So it feels like you got to do the tush push against the Packers, the team that was trying to ban it from the NFL. And plus, even if there wasn't a narrative involved, like Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown is still a solid play. You know, any single game of the year, like he is a threat in the end zone to rush it in with his legs, whether it's the tush push or just a, you know, him scrambling around and finding the end zone. So I feel like this is a solid play, especially at plus money. What's wild to me, Kate, is that you can get all of the Eagles players at plus money to score a touchdown. Like there was a day and age in which Saquon Barkley used to be like minus 200 to score a touchdown. I understand the total in this game is 45.5, which is a low total, but Saquon to score a touchdown is plus 105 as well.
I mean, you're right. We don't get that all that often. So I couldn't discourage anyone. I'm not going to for touchdown scores for the Eagles just at those prices. I did a little touchdown parlay, which is just kind of for funsies, but with Jalen Hurts and Josh Jacobs, because Josh Jacobs is the player that has the crazy odds every week. I mean, he's minus 155 for an anytime touchdown this week. You're not going to play that by itself, but throw that into a little two player touchdown parlay with Jalen Hurts and you get kind of a nice number, or you can pair it with Saquon Barkley. That would be fine too. Anything like that. But it is odd that we're getting plus money on those two players, Hurts and Barkley, just because last season that was certainly not the case.
Right. And it should be noted, we were talking about football weather earlier. This is going to be football weather. Going to be 30 degrees at Lambeau, which is kind of what you expect when we get into November and December at Lambeau. But I don't think it's really going to affect the game too much. They are calling for maybe some wind gusts up to 15 miles an hour. So maybe that impacts the kicking game. But what is your take on this total? 45.5. It's kind of low. And we just talked about some of these games like sailing over the totals. But I will say this, primetime games haven't been quite as prolific as we saw last night between the Chargers and the Steelers. But I do think the Eagles can score some points here.
I do too. I initially thought this was a little too low. Once you add in just the weather and the wind, that's the factor that you want to look at when weather is dictating a total. Like it's not necessarily the rain or the slippery ball. It's how high are those winds, because that affects the passing game. And for an Eagles team that struggled with the passing game early on in the season, they've kind of got that back on track, but that could derail things a little bit. You talk about the kicking game with the wind not being all that great. So I'm going to lean under, especially because primetime games have been lower scoring. But that's why I'm on the Eagles, is I have a lot more confidence in them scoring and finding the end zone than I do for the Packers. So I'm going to go under. I'm going to go Eagles. Not necessarily putting those two together, but that's where I would look in this one.
I do think if the Eagles are controlling this game, they're going to run the football. And we know that usually spells unders. You know, if you are playing a clock management game where the Eagles just, you know, pass it off to Saquon Barkley every single time, usually we'll see those games be kind of lower scoring. And I think that's what that kind of indicates. But I will say, you know, from an Eagle standpoint, if we're talking about them scoring points, if there's any offensive line that can handle the challenges of Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, it's probably the Eagles. Like, I feel like against other teams, against lesser opponents, sometimes you get this pass rush and it can, you know, wreak havoc on opposite offensive lines. But the Eagles are one of the best offensive lines in football. And also, they're rested. Like, if there's any team that's equipped to do the tush push more than ever, it's a team that's had an extra week of rest. So any way you slice it, I keep landing on the Eagles. So let me ask you this. Do you do Eagles on the money line or do you take the point?
I'm going to take Eagles on the money line. Eagles money line. Although I will say the Eagles, I mean, these are like those trends that people like to look at, and I don't pay very close attention to them, especially when the sample size is this small. But Philadelphia is 2-6-1 against the spread in their last 9 post bye week games versus NFC teams. So coming off a little rest, not great versus the NFC. But yeah, no, I'm still backing the Eagles. I'm just going to take them on the money line to win outright. I don't love this Packers team this year. I mean, second shortest odds to win the NFC right now behind the Lions. And I know their record indicates that they've been fairly good this year. Only 2 losses. They're 3-1 at home. But the losses, like the losses to the Panthers last week, that was really concerning. Panthers
and
are better. this year and the Browns. Yeah, those two, those are their two losses. I mean, those are brutal losses. So yeah, this, I just have more faith in this Eagles team, even on the road.
It just feels like it's been one of those years where nobody's really that dominant until, like, it does feel like this is the time of year where, like, the Chiefs gain steam and the Eagles gain steam. And those teams that were playing deep in the postseason last year, it feels like they've woken up for the year. They're like, all right, now it's really time to get it together. And that's what I feel like about the Eagles, especially like in this game. Like, I understand you look at the numbers for the entirety of the season and you say, okay, this Eagles team has been underwhelming. But if you look at the smaller sample size over the last few games, it does feel like they are starting to get some momentum, especially with that offense scoring at least 28 points in both of their last two games. So this is an offense that I'm afraid of when that offensive line gets going. And especially when you are a physical team, I feel like that week off helps even more.
Talk about teams starting to get going and separating themselves. I believe next week is when Toyotathon starts. Are you familiar with the Toyotathon Jordan Love narrative?
No.
Jordan Love may get going next week. He balls out during Toyotathon. Last two seasons, a Toyotathon starts mid November to mid December, and Jordan Love's stats in those times, I mean, he's unbelievable. So Packers may start separating themselves next week after a loss to the Eagles this week. Then Jordan Love takes off. I mean, talk about narratives, Chelsea. Doesn't get much better than that.
That sounds like a really safe bet. I feel like you should put the mortgage on Toyotathon version of Jordan Love. But maybe a little too late because I am on the Eagles here. I was thinking about maybe a Saquon Barkley prop because obviously that is the narrative that I'm going with here. His numbers are not as astronomical as they used to be, but it's still a pretty high number. 78.5 is his rushing yard prop. Juicy over at minus 115. I would lean towards the over there because I do think he gets a lot of carries. And here's the thing. We haven't seen a ton of explosive runs from him this year, and I think that's been the difference. But we've seen little flashes over the past couple of games. So I think it's in there somewhere. I think Saquon can rip off a big one tonight in an Eagles win, or at least we're hoping that is the case. All right, coming up next here on the show, who's going to win MVP this year? And will it be Drake May? It's next on the Daily Tip. I wonder if some of the players look at this and feel disrespected. Because right now, Matt Stafford is your favorite at plus 275, but it's a very short lead over Drake May, who is 3-1. And I understand Drake May is having a great season. But some of these numbers, man, like Matt Stafford has 25 touchdowns to only two picks this year. Drake May has 19 touchdowns to five picks. Is there really only 25 cents difference between these two players? If I'm Matt Stafford, I'm looking at this and being like, what does this old bag of bones have to do to prove to you guys that I'm the MVP right now?
Matt Stafford should feel disrespected based on how his odds, I mean, going into yesterday's game, he was like the fourth favorite at 6-1. He throws four touchdowns, third straight game, throwing at least four touchdowns, first player to do that without a single pick in NFL history. And all of a sudden, that's what carries him over the edge in terms of MVP odds. So, I mean, hey, I hope anyone who likes Matthew Stafford for MVP got him yesterday prior to the game, because plus 275, not a great price compared to the 6-1 or even the longer numbers that you could have gotten him at. Plus, Matthew Stafford's doing this in year 17. I know it's also impressive that Drake May is doing this in year two, but year 17 and the touchdown to interception ratio that Stafford has two interceptions all season when he's thrown 25 touchdowns. He only, 100 less yards, 100 plus less yards Drake May through the air. Whatever. Those kind of wash each other out. But 25 touchdowns to two interceptions, that's pretty impressive to me. Matt Stafford's been my MVP for a long time. And I mean, finally, the books are looking that same way as well.
Yeah. Matt Stafford has been Kate's personal MVP for quite some time now.
I mean, he certainly has. The guy's a silver fox.
But here's the thing. Like, there was this narrative to start the season where you look at his age and so many people had questions about the Rams overall, just because they said, how do we know if Matt Stafford's going to play in these games? And what's wild to me is that we have seen precedent for this, where Matt Stafford has been the toughest guy, it feels like, in the NFL multiple times in his career, where he's playing through a broken collarbone, he's playing through all these injuries, and he still puts up great numbers. So it's one of those things where I knew when people said this, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, when people are like, oh, he's getting an epidural, there's no way to know how he's going to be after that. Like, the guy survived worse. Like, I've had an epidural and I gave birth to a child. I'm not saying it's the same thing. I am just saying that don't you doubt Matt Stafford, because he is extremely tough. He plays through a lot of this, and it feels like age is just a number to him. Like, to put into perspective what he was to start the season, he was 33-1 to win MVP to start the year, and now he sits at plus 275. So somebody, if you took a shot on Matt Stafford preseason, you're sitting pretty right now, for sure.
And I mean, I said Matt Stafford's been my MVP for a while. He was not my MVP at 33-1 to start the season. Like, I'm not sure too many people did take a shot on him at that number because of the back injury. I was among those talking heads that was like, if Matt Stafford's not on the field, the Rams are done, which I still believe if he's not on the field, but I didn't think that Stafford would start the season. I didn't think he would play till week 4 or 5. And at that point, like, then your stats are skewed. You've probably missed too much time to be in the MVP category. So I certainly am not someone who betted at 33-1 because I didn't believe I bought into the narrative of his back is not going to be okay. One big hit at his age and that back can be thrown out, or whatever issues, nerve issues he had, can come right back. So he's also just had a great offensive line keeping him upright. Like, hasn't taken all that many sacks this season, which is what's keeping him healthy. But it's kind of also like in the manner that he's done a lot of these things. Like, even yesterday, some no-look passes for touchdowns. Like, he's just crazy like that. One other player, Tulsa, that I think the odds are way too long on right now, the disrespect for Sam Darnold. Hand up right here. I was throwing massive shade at Sam Darnold early on in the season. I was disrespecting that man. He's been phenomenal this year for the Seahawks. And so for Sam Darnold to be 101, where Josh Allen, after the performance that Josh Allen had yesterday, is only plus 650, I think that's a misprice right there. 10-1, thank you, instead of 11-1 for Sam Darnold. But I think Darnold needs to be higher up in that category and is getting a little disrespected.
Yeah, but I feel like what sucks about this award is that a lot of it is narratives. And it's not just simply who has the best number. So as much as it pains me to say this, it does not feel like an award that Sam Darnold is going to win, just because people look at JSN and they look at the receivers around him. And plus, like, the eye test as well. Like, some of these passes that Matt Stafford was making were ones that would just make Chris Collinsworth fall over in his chair if it was Patrick Mahomes. And it's funny, you know.
Gus Johnson isn't calling those games, Chelsea.
It would be inaudible. We wouldn't know what he was saying. But speaking of Patrick Mahomes, and because this is a narrative-based award, Patrick Mahomes sitting there lurking at 5-1. And so looking at some of the numbers, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have, you know, the stats that fly off the page. 17 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, which is just fine. Quarterback rating of, let's see, 98.2, which is noticeably different than, like, Matt Stafford's 114. Jared Goff is 117. But we know this award is not based on numbers alone. Some of it's the eye test and some of it is narratives. Do you think there is a way that Patrick Mahomes steals this award from some of these guys who have better numbers?
Yeah, certainly, especially because the Chiefs only seem to continue to get better as the year has progressed. And I mean, for him to be where he is, he didn't even play this weekend. And I want to say his number dropped. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was plus 650 last week and he's 5-1 right now. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is always going to be in the conversation. He was the guy that was my favorite going into the season. As long as the Chiefs keep winning football games, it's going to be because of Patrick Mahomes, and that number is going to get shorter too. So I think Drake May has a lot of, do you call it pressure? I mean, it's only his second season. It's hard for a second year quarterback to win MVP. We don't see that all that often. So I think he has to be the one that really continues stuffing the stat sheet in terms of those touchdowns and the few interceptions in order to stay at the top, whereas Patrick Mahomes may be able to endure some volatility and still have those odds there because he is Patrick Mahomes and the name comes with it.
I think one of the knocks against the Patriots, which I don't think is a fair knock, has been that they have not faced the toughest schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know, they went on the road and beat the Bucs yesterday. That was a huge win for them and a good Bucs team. And Drake May had a good game in that game. But you look further down the schedule, it doesn't feel like there's going to be a ton of slip-up games for Drake May. But again, he is a young quarterback. So next, the Patriots host the Jets. Then they go on the road to the Bengals. They got the Giants. Then they do host the Bills. Maybe that'll be a tough one. Go on the road to the Ravens. Go back to the Jets, and then they play the Dolphins at New England. So there are plenty of games left for Drake May to, like, pad the stat sheet. But I do think if Matt Stafford continues to put up these numbers, like, it's his award to lose. Like, I know that Patrick Mahomes, from an eye test perspective, is certainly one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback, I probably should say that, in the NFL. But for the Chiefs to win, he doesn't necessarily need to stand on his head. Like, this is still a good overall team, and the goal for the Chiefs is still to win a Super Bowl. It's not for Patrick Mahomes to pad the stat sheet. So I think that's kind of the sabotage factor for Patrick Mahomes. And then there's some people looking at other positions, like notably the season that Jonathan Taylor is having, where he already has over 1,000 yards rushing and 15 touchdowns. But Kate, we've seen this story before. You can have historic seasons as somebody who is not a quarterback and you will not win MVP. We have seen Cooper Kupp win the Triple Crown as a receiver and Super Bowl MVP. Did he win MVP that year? No. We've seen Derrick Henry break all kinds of rushing records, rush for over 2,000 yards in a season. Did he win MVP? No. So I still think it is a giant uphill climb for Jonathan Taylor to win MVP.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. It's a quarterback award. It should just be named after a quarterback and be called the quarterback award. You'd have to go back how many years before you get to Adrian Peterson, 2012, last non-quarterback and a running back in that matter to win MVP. But with how some of these quarterbacks are playing right now, I don't see that happening. If this were like a mediocre year for quarterbacks, and I feel like it kind of the season kind of started in that manner, like no one really separated themselves, but here we are just over halfway through and you're seeing the Matthew Stafford and the Drake Mays pop, and that's what makes it even harder for Jonathan Taylor. Drake May, the two games that I think could really solidify his MVP candidacy, yeah, he's got a lot of stat padding games against the Jets and Bengals, but those back-to-back games against the Bills and then at Buffalo, or I'm sorry, at Baltimore, if he balls out in both of those games and the Patriots win those, that could be enough to kind of put his stamp on MVP for this season. Now, similarly with Matthew Stafford, the Rams still have two games against the Seahawks this year. Coming up in this next week, they host the Seahawks in week 12, and then down the road, third to last game of the season, that one is against the Seahawks. They also play the Lions in there, so there are quite a few tough games for the Rams, where if Stafford continues this, that could be his stamp. But those are kind of like, Patrick Mahomes is always lurking, but those are the two front runners that I think will be the front runners at the end of the season.
Well, and also it does feel like Matt Stafford is more of a known commodity. Like, if you're picking one of two guys to fall off and, like, kind of fizzle down the stretch, are you going to go with Matt Stafford, somebody who has been playing in the NFL for, it feels like, 30 years, or Drake May? It's nothing, you know, against Drake May. It's just he is still a young quarterback, and we have seen this before. I think he's a great quarterback, but it's not a price that I would put on Drake May right now. Like, the name of the game is trying to figure out who could be, you know, still going up and their stock could be rising. I think there's still an avenue in which Josh Allen could win MVP. Right now, he's further down the board. He was the preseason favorite. He's plus 650. If there's anybody who can turn around a bad performance by following it up with like a four touchdown, no pick game, it's Josh Allen. So I still think that there is a pathway for him to be in the race as well. All right, hour three is next. We'll start with our biggest takeaways from Sunday Night Football. Is Aaron Rodgers washed? It's next on The Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Rise and shine, people. It's time to talk football, football, and more football on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. I'm Chelsea Messenger. She's Kate Constable filling in for Jenks today. And we'll start by our betting lessons that we learned from last night's Sunday night football matchup between the Packers, or excuse me, between the Steelers and the Chargers. Then we'll go on to Monday night football and get you set for all of the best bets you can make in the Packers and Eagles game. And so, Kate, I don't know if you're a gardener. I don't think you are because I think you live in a high rise. But for me, I live in the suburbs and today was our first frost of the season. And it makes me a little sad because I had all these flowers and I moved some of them indoors, but some of them, you know, live outside and it just has to be, you know, a period of mourning because you say, okay, they served their time. The season's over. And that's all you can say is that, you know, flowers don't last forever. And it feels like I get that same feeling about Aaron Rodgers, is that he's getting older. He had his time in the NFL. And you watch him last night for the Steelers, and you just say, okay, maybe his time has come. Is that too simplistic? Is he allowed to have a bad game without us pointing at his age and saying, yeah, what do you expect? He's 41 years old.
I mean, one, I can't keep a plant alive to save my life. Yes, I live in a high rise, so like I don't have a yard or anything, but I've tried indoor plants. I killed a succulent. You can't kill succulents. Like those things last forever. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but it was gone. So, I mean, every player has a bad game every now and then, but it just doesn't feel like Aaron Rodgers is still the caliber player that, I mean, I guess he hasn't been an MVP form caliber player in quite some time. I mean, his decline started with the Packers and he spent 2 years with the Jets, although only played one of those, and now with the Steelers. So yeah, the decline is real. And then you see a performance like this and you're like, okay, maybe it's time that we hang it up, because I have heard rumblings that like he might want to come back next season because he started the season pretty strong. But just how that happened yesterday, the poor performance there, you also have to blame some of that on the offensive line. Like, he was running for his life, and granted, he can't really run. He was getting sacked. The incompletions, I mean, 0 for 9 on third down, that's not all the quarterback's fault. A lot of it, but a lot of other things have to go right as well. The passes of 0 for 5 on passes of at least 15 yards downfield, like, maybe, yeah, there were some accuracy issues last night, those types of things, but overall, I do think that we are seeing the decline or the end of the road, which should be for Aaron Rodgers.
It's definitely going to be a talking point today, as it should be, because he is getting older. And I think the expectations are always so high when it's Aaron Rodgers or any future right. Hall of Fame quarterback, is that you look at him and you say, okay, he's Aaron Rodgers, make something work. But like you said, none of the downfield passes were working. 0 of 5 on those 15 plus yard passes, which usually kind of initiates the offense and gets a spark going and helps out the running game as well. But at the end of the day, like, football is a team sport. And I think especially when you're talking about older quarterbacks, you need a lot of good pieces around him. And so when Aaron Rodgers came to the Steelers, you said, oh, this is one of the best defenses in the league. One of, I think it's the highest paid defense in the league. And you'll say, at least these games will be close and the defense will keep it tight. And there's some good pieces on the offense, guys like DK Metcalf, who can catch some of those passes. So Aaron Rodgers does not have to do that much. But when your defense consistently is disappointing, like we saw last night, where you give up 25 points, this is a far cry from what the Steelers should have expected from this defense as well.
Yeah, you have to blame a lot of last night on the defense too. And honestly, Chelsea, like the reason I don't have any faith in the Steelers going forward is less about Aaron Rodgers and more about the defense, because there are no signs of improvement for this defense. Like, it feels like we're talking about them and how poorly they play each and every week. And that's an issue. Yeah. You're not going to win too many football games when you're giving up a ton of points every week. Like 25 points last night, that isn't even the most that they've given up this season. 35 against Green Bay. 30 since, like, you gave up 33 points to Cincinnati. I know they have a couple great receivers, but like, that Bengals team isn't very good. So that's also concerning. And then with Aaron Rodgers, just like the narrative, the off-field stuff, all everything that goes on with him, I think it's easy for people to prey on him and say, okay, buddy, let's be done. You're annoying off the field. You're mediocre on the field. Like, that type of narrative goes into it as well. So there's just a lot going against the Steelers right now. And then with the Ravens winning yesterday against Minnesota, the Steelers' odds for the division plummeted a little bit. It's still a two-team race between the Steelers and the Ravens, but the Ravens are showing signs of life and improvement and health and an upward trajectory, where the Steelers are the complete opposite.
It does feel like the division is kind of slipping away from the Steelers. Yeah. And I do think that expectations weren't that high, even despite the Steelers getting off to a pretty good start. Because I think a lot of us held this notion that the Steelers are going to be what the Steelers are every single year, where they're going to have a competitive regular season, they're going to make the playoffs, and then they're going to get trounced in like the first round of the playoffs. So nobody was looking at the Steelers team and thinking, oh, Super Bowl or bust for this Steelers right. team. But it's still disappointing, especially when you go against a Chargers team that has had all of these injuries on the offensive line. And what do the Chargers do? They run the damn ball. Kamani Vidal had 25 carries last night for 95 yards. He wasn't super productive in the first half, but the fact that the Chargers could hold the Steelers to 10 points says something about their defense, and it was just a physical game, and at the end of the day, it looked like the Chargers wanted it more.
Yeah, and I mean, for a Chargers team that is so banged up on the offensive line, not having Joe Alt yesterday or for the rest of the season is huge, because when he's not in the game, the Chargers do not play well whatsoever. But their defense showed up yesterday, we just talked about Aaron Rodgers' numbers. That's partly on the defense for the Chargers to force him to those types of numbers. And so I think you got to give a lot of credit to this LA defense for stepping up. And maybe that's a way that, even if the offense struggles at times, it didn't really yesterday, but your defense can show up and win you some football games. Going back to the Steelers, Chelsea, like you said, no one really expected them to win the Super Bowl. And I agree with that. I did not see them as a Super Bowl caliber team, but I think a lot of fans did, because of all the moves that they made in the offseason. Bringing over DK Metcalf, you made moves with Jalen Ramsey on defense, bringing him over. So like, there were a lot of moves, especially with this being like your window of capitalizing on Aaron Rodgers, potentially his only season. Like, a lot of people in that organization probably viewed this season as a Super Bowl or bust because of the money they spent in the offseason and the shortened window with Aaron Rodgers. But that certainly is not, I mean, this is, the eye test will tell you that this is not a Super Bowl caliber team whatsoever.
Right. And I do think, you know, if this was any other quarterback, we would say, oh, it's a bad game. You know, maybe not any other quarterback, but if it's like any of the other A-listers, like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, you say it's a bad game, whatever. It's just since Aaron Rodgers is older, it feels like there is more flaws where if he's flushed out of the pocket, it's tougher for him to scramble. And again, like you go back to the factor of like a lot of people just don't like him. So when he has a bad game, it's very easy to pile on. But I'm not saying that he's not going to have another good game this season because we've seen it. There's been some good games this year for Aaron Rodgers. And I do think there is a chance we'll see some good ones again. It's just, again, it comes back to the defense where this is not the season that I think Steelers fans envisioned where they're giving up all these points all the time. And even though they had one good week where they shut down the Colts and they, you know, had a big win there, it just has not been a consistently good effort from this defense. But talking about the Chargers for a second, because they did win the game 25-10, LA improves to 7-3. And I will say this, it was a gutsy and physical win here. I'm not sure if they can sustain all of these injuries. I'm not sure if the offensive line can play like this every single game where they feel, you know, like they have put a good effort even with a relief core in there. But what's your take on the Chargers moving forward? Do you think they could be a real contender in the AFC?
No. Because of all the injuries, I mean, just flat out, no, I don't think so. You look at who they have coming up, and yeah, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, fine, easy. You can get by in those games. I don't think you can get by against Philadelphia in week 14, at Kansas City in week 15, although Justin Herbert has played Mahomes very closely over the years. But just, you mentioned all the injuries piling up. With those pile, I mean, if they suffer any more injuries, like, they're going deep into the bench. You're at Denver, the final week of the season. So, like, they have some really tough matchups coming up where I think you need to have full health or close to it in order to beat those top-tier teams, where Pittsburgh is not a top-tier team. So you can win without a Joe Alt. You can win with your third-string running back against a team like Pittsburgh. I don't think you can do so against Philly, against Kansas City, against Denver with two of those three games coming on the road.
I do think some of it will depend on the matchup because, like you mentioned, the Chargers do play the Chiefs closely. It is a divisional opponent. We already saw it earlier this season where Justin Herbert picked apart that Chiefs defense. Should be noted, I think Joel might have played in that game. The numbers are stark when he is in the game for Justin Herbert as far as like his passing efficiency goes. But you look at the top of the AFC and it's the Colts, it's the Broncos and the Patriots, which is wild, you know, as far as records go, because you'd think it'd be the Bills and the Chiefs. We saw the Bills have a piss poor effort against the Dolphins yesterday. I don't know if they just weren't mentally prepared or if the Dolphins just have their number, because that is the second time that the Dolphins have played the Bills tough. Then you look at the Chiefs, who are 5-4. So it's one of those things where the top tier teams, I feel like they still kind of have to prove it to us. Where you look at the Patriots, who have a young quarterback. You have the Broncos, who have a young quarterback as well, and an offense that doesn't seem to turn the corner until the fourth quarter. And then the Colts, who I think a lot of people still look at Daniel Jones and think he might turn him back into a pumpkin when it comes to the postseason. So I'm not going to sit here and say the Chargers don't stand a chance. I think it feels kind of wide open for a lot of these teams in the AFC. Is it going to shock me if it's going to be the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC Championship game? No, but they do need to get to that point first. And it might be a tougher road if some of these guys have to go in through a wild card spot as opposed to winning the division.
Yeah, I think that's what we could see. Like right now you have, what, three AFC West teams in the playoffs right now. Chargers are sitting in that fifth spot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Broncos, they lead the division right now, so they are number two in the AFC. But I think Jacksonville drops out. I think Houston has a fall. The Ravens coming into the mix could be – that's what's going to bounce the Steelers out of playoff contention. And I think that opens up just one more spot for a potential Chargers if their record still kind of holds up. So the AFC is very, it's wide open right now, but I think we're going to see quite a few changes before the end of the year with a lot of these teams kind of falling apart.
At what point in the season do we need to start believing in some of these teams? Because like we're standing in November here And I still feel like I don't truly believe in the Colts when it comes to the postseason. Because here's the thing. We've seen teams go from bad team to good team. And they have these great regular season records. But sometimes it takes more to jump from, you know, bad team to playoff good team. Do you get what I'm saying? Is that it's one thing to do in the regular season. But I do think postseason experience matters. And there's a reason the AFC Championship game has just been like the Kansas City Invitational. Right. Or it's just the Chiefs every single year. So I don't know. It's hard to discount, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs, even though the Bills certainly have some problems on their defense. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, Josh Allen's going to have another bad game.
Yeah, I'm nervous about the Bills. They are not the same team that's played deep into the postseason the last couple of years. I mean, the loss to Miami was brutal. There was a lot going wrong there. You've lost to Atlanta. Which, I mean, Atlanta's not a good football team. The loss to New England, like, that one makes sense. Beating Kansas City last week was huge. But, like, overall, the only wins have come against really poor teams. The Jets, the Dolphins in week 3, which you barely squeaked by. You let them hang around there. The Saints and Carolina. Sure, you beat Baltimore week 1, but you were losing for 75% of that game, turned it on in the end. So, like, the Bills have not beaten too many good teams at all, and they really haven't showed us much. So I'm worried about Buffalo making it to the AFC Championship game this season.
Well, the good news is a lot of those teams will not be in the playoffs. Like, I don't think they'll be facing the Dolphins. But you're right. They do have to make it to the playoffs first. And going back to Daniel Jones, I feel like it should be pointed out that he was sacked 7 times, picked off, and fumbled 3 times despite a Colts win in overtime in Berlin. So maybe that Daniel Jones that we're all expecting is still lurking in there somewhere. I know Colts fans just hope that that Daniel Jones does not show up in the postseason. And it's more Indiana Jones and the good numbers. All right, coming up next, our best bets for Monday Night Football, Packers and Eagles. Are we siding with the public? It's next on The Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Lego, it's time to make some bets, shall we? We are a betting show, after all. And Monday Night Football is on the card tonight. The Eagles and the Packers squaring off. Green Bay Point favorites at home, total of 45.5. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Kate Constable, filling in for Jinx today. So we'll build all of our plays here in just a minute. But I'm looking at this weather, Kate, and boy, does it look rough at Lambeau, which should be expected. It is November, but the high today in Green Bay is 36 degrees. So I would imagine by game time, it's going to get down to the 20s, which I don't look at this Philly team and be like, well, they don't know how to play in cold weather. They certainly do, as a tough unit, but I don't know. I feel like this is a game where I would be watching on the couch underneath my cozy blanket.
Well, Chelsea, not only is it going to be in the 30s, but like the feels like temperature on the field, that's going to be like 12, which makes it significantly colder, right? I mean, obviously 12 and 32, quite the difference. But yeah, it's going to be chilly. I mean, these players know how to do it. They have the heaters on the sideline. They have their blankets on the sideline. Like, I think they'll tell you it's not as big of a deal as what we as viewers think it is, because it just looks miserable and freezing to us. But especially teams like the Packers and the Eagles, who have played in cold weather games numerous times and are from cold weather cities, like, I'm not sure it impacts them quite as much. It's the wind that I think will impact the game more than the cold temperatures, because if it's windy, the kicking game gets a little skewed and a little funky, and the passing game can get a little funky depending on how high those winds are. And it is supposed to be fairly windy at Lambeau tonight. So I think that's the effect of the game, but I'm with you. I don't think I'm going to leave my house today. It's the feels like in Chicago right now is 12, and we have snow on the ground. Like, I got groceries yesterday. I have no reason or desire to go anywhere. So I will be on the couch watching this game. Certainly not making the trek to Lambeau. Yuck.
Well, and especially because I think it's worse as a fan, because you're just standing there. Like, at least the players are running around. So it's harder to keep warm when you're simply standing there for 3 hours. So my thoughts and prayers
and
with
Chelsea,
whoever are going. Go ahead.
At Lambeau, they just have like metal bleachers. Like, you don't have actual seats. You're just sitting on bleachers. And so it is freezing. I went to a game there last year, 2 years ago, when the Bears played, and that's when people bring their cardboard to sit on. That way it just has a little, I don't know, gives you a buffer between the cold seat. But like, yeah, it gets chilly there.
Ah, yeah, I do not envy those people, but maybe they'll see a good game tonight, because the line is expecting that, where the Packers, as I mentioned, short 1-point home favorites. This line has gone from Eagles getting 1.5 to an Eagles getting just a point here. So clearly some money coming in on Philadelphia here, and that's who the public likes. 74% of the spread bets are on Philly to cover. And you could even look at the money line. If you like them on the money line, the Eagles to win outright, that is -102. The public loves that as well. 78% of the money line bets on Philly here. So it feels like you look at all the factors, Kate, and everything comes up Philly for me. It scares me a little bit that the public is all over the Eagles as well. But you look at an Eagles team that's coming off a bye week, and especially when you play a very physical brand of football, that extra rest usually is helpful. Plus, they're going to be gaining strength on their defense, where they just added defensive end Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins, who should beef up an already strong defensive line. Nolan Smith is returning from the injured reserve as well. I know J.R. Alexander is not playing in this one. I know they just added him, who used to play for the Packers. But still, you look at an Eagles team that looks like they're starting to gain some momentum down the stretch. And then you look at the Packers, who just lost to the Panthers. Rico Dowdle rumbled for 130 yards on the ground against this Packers defensive line. And you look at the injury report as well. The Packers, you know, it feels like they are running out of options when it comes to receivers. Last week, Tucker Kraft tore his ACL, who had become their best receiver despite being a tight end. Five of the Packers' six receivers have been on the injury report or a snap count for this game. So it just feels very simple to me that the Eagles should win this game, but we know betting on the NFL is never easy. Are you on the Eagles here?
Yeah, just kind of like the Buffalo Bills should have beat the Dolphins yesterday. Crazy things happen, but I'm on the Eagles with you, Chelsea. I kind of co-sign everything that you just said there. I think they're the more complete team right now. And even with the early season struggles that they had, their offense has turned around. Their passing game has improved over their last couple of wins. And that's more than I can say about the Packers. I don't trust their offense. I don't trust their receivers as being having someone who can be their go-to guy and really go out and make a big time play, especially with Tucker Kraft being out for the season now. I mean, he was a security blanket for Jordan Love, and he was someone that they were relying on heavily, and now he's out for the year against this Eagles defense that it feels like the Eagles are kind of like the Ravens in a sense that they've continued to improve as the season has gone on. And we just saw what Rico Dowdle did against the Packers and the rest. Saquon Barkley, who hasn't exactly had like a breakout game this year. I know he's coming off a solid performance against the Giants, but like this could be a game where Saquon just runs all over this Packers defense with how poorly they played last week against Carolina. So I think this is an Eagle spot. I'm going to bet the Eagles tonight. I also like the Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown because the tush push whole drama stuff with the Packers being the team that wanted to ban that in the offseason and kind of being the ringleaders of that. You mentioned when we talked about this game earlier that like there's a certain pettiness to Philly teams and fans in general. And like that's going to show up tonight. They're going to do the tush push every single chance that they get.
Right. And why would they not? It's a successful play and they haven't banned it just yet because like you mentioned, the Packers were one of those teams that was trying to ban it. So especially when you're fully rested, like we've heard the physical toll that the tush push takes on offensive linemen, but at least they've had a week to rest and recover. So if there's ever a time to do the tush push, that time is now. And even if it's not Jalen Hurts scoring on a tush push, we know he is pretty good with his legs and he can certainly run one in on one of those short yardage situations. So if you believe in the Eagles and you believe in Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown, you combine those, it's plus 250 if you want to do that for a same game parlay. Is there anything else we should throw in the same game parlay? Because here's the thing. I understand parlays are not plus EV. They're not a smart bet, but it's fun, especially for these primetime games. And I think a lot of people listening probably like these parlays as well. So is there anything else that you think people should consider to throw in these same game parlays?
Yeah, if I'm going to do a parlay, I'm going to do like a two-team or two-player leg. We're not going to get any crazy by any means. We just need a couple plays that we like that could get us some plus money. I also Josh Jacobs scores nearly every game, which is why his rushing prop is minus 155. I wouldn't play that by itself, but I do like that in a parlay. So I placed earlier this week a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown and a Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown, and you get a pretty good price on that. And then just with the Eagles passing game, you know, starting to click over the last couple of weeks, maybe a Devonta Smith receiving yards over. Something of that manner. You choose one of the two receivers. I preferred Smith over AJ Brown, but I think that could be something that you look at as well. The Packers run defense is really good. The Packers pass defense, I mean, they're top 10, so their defense has been great this year with the addition of Micah Parsons, but there's certainly still areas where you can exploit that. And so looking at some Eagles props, I think is the way to go.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'm trying to do like a conservative parlay and then like a big money one because I think that's normally how I play it is I play one parlay that feels like very logical and you're like, okay, I got some wiggle room here. So the first leg of it is Eagles +7 because obviously you're getting points. This would be like a teaser leg. So I already put the Eagles, I think, in a lot of teasers this week. So I'm still waiting on the Eagles to come through for me. But you can combine something with that. It's minus 350, so obviously you got to find some other partners. But I'm having trouble because I was going to do like Saquon 50-plus or 60-plus. BetMGM only does 50 or 75, and I can't get it low enough. What's another like consistent factor? Because that's what I like to put in my like conservative parlay. Something that you're like, okay. Right. There is no way that Saquon Barkley is not going to be involved in this game. Like, touchdowns feel kind of volatile to me because Saquon Barkley can have a huge game and not have a touchdown. Like, I've seen this a lot with Derrick Henry, where he rushes for over 100 yards, but when it comes to the end zone, especially when you have a running quarterback, like Jalen Hurts or like Lamar Jackson, those guys can vulture away a lot of touchdowns. So I need to find another partner for that same game parlay that feels like something that's bankable.
It's hard with the Packers because their receiving core is kind of by committee. I mentioned they don't really have that.
Yeah.
Maybe Christian Watson is their number one, but like they don't have a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson type of number one receiver. So, I mean, I just go back to Josh Jacobs. He's going to get the touches. The Eagles' run defense has been poor at times this year. Maybe you don't play him to have a touchdown, but you take his yardage and you water that down kind of like you did for Saquon and go that way. That would kind of be the only other player on the Packers side that I would be comfortable doing that with. Again, just because you don't quite know who's going to get a lot of the love tonight from Jordan Love. But I think you could also, if you wanted to water down Devonta Smith's receiving yards or receptions, like they're going to be throwing the ball some, especially with the pass rush for Green Bay. Like Jalen Hurts is going to have to get it out of his hand pretty quickly tonight. So that could be something to add. For a long shot, I think you go Luke Musgrave. He's the tight end that's taken over for Tucker Kraft. Hasn't had, I mean, he's played this year, but hasn't had a ton of targets. He was 3 for 3 against Carolina last week after Kraft went out. So they're going to go to him. He could be someone that maybe an anytime touchdown for him could be something to look at because you're probably getting a great price on that.
His receiving prop for yards is 29.5. So if you're looking for Luke Musgrave, it is a low number. Right. And I think that's where you can find some value in some of these guys who are not the big names. But again, like I don't ever find myself betting on Packers receiving props just because even when they have their full complement of receivers, Jordan Love is pretty good at spreading the ball around. Like I know for a while it was Romeo Doubs. But it's just one of those things where I don't feel super comfortable doing it. So I did find a partner for our Eagles +7 bet. And maybe this is if you think, you know, it's a close game, but the Packers still win. Because the problem is the partner is Josh Jacobs to run for 50 plus yards. But it does not feel like that correlates. Like that's what I like to do on same game parlays is that it needs to correlate. So I would rather do something with Saquon or hell, even, you know, Jalen Hurts. If you look at his rushing prop, you could do, you know, Jalen Hurts 25 plus rush yards plus Eagles +7 is +105. Maybe that's a good option just because I don't like doing like somebody from the opposite team and then the other team needing to win.
Right. The Packers defense has allowed the fewest quarterback rushing yards per game this season, just over 6.5. But they also haven't faced many mobile quarterbacks. Like they haven't faced teams that have a Jalen Hurts type quarterback that can use their legs. Sure, Jaden Daniels in week 2, that's kind of the only one, and he got hurt in that matchup. So, like, they're really – I'm not sure that that stat is going to hold up where the Packers are limiting quarterbacks. So I actually do like Jalen Hurts to go over his rushing yards tonight.
Well, this would be like an alt number. It's 25. So it's clearly higher than that because 25 plus is -175. But like, again, it doesn't feel like a super bankable thing because he's been all over the place this year. He's rushed for 62 yards, for 3 yards, for 13, for -10 and 22. So Jalen Hurts, you're out. Somebody else is in.
All right. Easy
enough. At the
end
of the day, sometimes I think that I try to get too cute with things and I'm like, okay, how can we water things down? When at the end of the day, sometimes you just need to take a hypothesis and run with it and just play a normal number instead of parlaying a bunch of different outcomes where everything has to go right. So if my hypothesis holds true, I think that the Eagles can run the football. Like we saw it against the Panthers where Rico Dowdle, you know, had 130 yards and carried the ball 25 times. Especially with this weather, I think the Eagles will be trying to run the football. And why would they not? Their offensive line is amazing. And Saquon has shown some signs of what we saw from him last year. Not that he is bad this year. It's just the expectations were super high. So maybe we just place a bet on Saquon Barkley to go over his rushing prop. The line set at 78.5. Kate, do you ever do this where you like get too in your brain and you're like, all right, I combine this and this and this. Or at the end of the day, maybe we just play 2 simple bets. We play the Eagles on the money line and we play one more.
I think that might be the way to do it, Chelsea. Anytime I try and get too cute with the parlays and add, you know, multiple legs and water some down, one of them still is not going to hit. Like, parlays are really tough, which is why the payout is much bigger. But if you want to actually be profitable, just play two straight bets, the two you like most, and see what happens with that. So I like the Eagles outright, and I like your Saquon Barkley look. I think that could be a good one for tonight, especially with a fairly low total.
And I'll say this. Every single Eagles player is plus money to score a touchdown. Somebody's scoring a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Question mark?
I hope so.
All right, coming up next, we'll give you our best bets where we're putting our money where our mouth is after the break on The Daily Tip. It's time to land the plane. Final segment of The Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Gay Constable, and for Jenks today. In a few minutes, we'll hand out our best bets of the day and see what we finally landed on as far as our hypotheses for tonight's Monday Night Football game. All right, Kate, so last month was Croctober in our household, where I made stuff in the crock pot all the time, but we didn't even have crock pot weather, really. Like, we were still sitting in the 60s. Today is the first day where it feels like I really need to make something. So let's do a vote. Should I do chili? Should I do chicken enchilada soup? Or should I do chicken noodle soup? Of those three, what would you vote on if you were in the Messenger Buchanan household?
Let's see. It feels a little early for like a heavy chili. I think my taste buds are kind of tasting more enchilada, chicken enchilada soup. That one sounds great. But chicken noodle soup also close second because, again, chili is like a deep into winter soup for me.
It sounds like a winter bulk, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, that's when you don't care about gaining weight.
Yeah. Maybe you could go like a white chicken chili. That's what I think I'm going to make this week, because it's been just DoorDash in my house for the last month. I have not been cooking, and I should maybe bring out the crock pot and start doing some of that stuff, because those bills, those DoorDash bills, those add up, let me tell you.
Well, I've been trying to be a better homemaker lately, because when I was your age, like, I was doing the same thing. We're like, we lived in the city. I didn't have kids. And sometimes it's actually more expensive to cook at home if you're cooking for one or two people. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially cooking for one. Like, that's the most depressing thing ever, because you have all these leftovers.
Yeah. And they always go to waste. And my husband eats like a 4-year-old. So, like, I'm not even sure if I made enchilada soup if he would eat that. So, yeah, sometimes it is cheaper, although the fees for DoorDash are astronomical. But I get what you're saying, is that, like, I end up throwing a lot of food away because we don't eat all the leftovers, because after 3 days of eating the same thing, I'm sick of it and I don't want to have it again for another 6 weeks. And so that just goes to waste. Any leftover, you know, ingredients to that recipe, I'm not remaking it. So those go to waste, and try not to waste. I got to be less wasteful, I guess, is what we're coming to.
Yeah, it's an uphill climb for me because I get the ick about leftovers. Like, there are very few foods that I actually want to eat the next day. Pizza, some Italian food, and maybe like a sandwich or something. Other than that, like, I don't want to reheat soup. It sounds disgusting, honestly. I know it sounds elitist, but, like, I don't want to reheat soup. It sounds gross.
I mean, that's fair. I just get weirded out, like, if chicken's in the fridge for a couple days. Like, I know it has a shelf life of, like, but I get scared about that stuff. And I've gotten food poisoning one too many times. Most of it is a result of my own cooking, which is also problematic. But I just don't risk. If chicken's been in the fridge for more than a day, it's going in the garbage. We're not risking that.
That needs to be your next clap back for somebody who's like, you need to stay in the kitchen and not talk about sports. Trust me, you don't want me in the kitchen.
People will die. A chicken was the last thing that I gave myself food poisoning on, which is just absolutely repulsive to think about. So we don't. Yeah, no, thank you.
We don't. Well, we're cooking up bets, and luckily that is our specialty. So let's get to it. Our favorite plays of the day.
Time to place your bets.
All right, Kate, what have we settled on? We've talked through all of our options for Monday Night Football, and listen, I haven't even thrown this out there. You could be going to basketball because we do have college hoops going on. We have the NBA going on. So what's the bet that you like the most today?
You know what, Chelsea? I haven't been betting a whole lot of NBA. I got to get on that. That's usually my bread and butter, but that's been a slow start to the season. I'm going to stick with this Monday Night Football. I'm going Eagles as my best bet. Eagles money line. Best bet of the day.
Yeah, that's going to be mine as well. I'm going to give a few reasons as to why I like the Eagles here, right. Just because you need a little recipe for success. All right, so the reason I like the Eagles today, getting a point, or you can take them on the money line at -102, is because it just feels like the Eagles are the team trending in the right direction, as opposed to the Packers, who are nursing a ton of injuries when it comes to receiving core, including Tucker Kraft, their tight end who just tore his ACL. He was lining up to be the best receiving threat for Jordan Love. And now you look at this receivers core, and 5 of the 6 Packers receivers have been on the injury report this week, or they're on a snap count tonight. So it's going to be a mash unit out there for Jordan Love to throw to. And then you look at the defense for the Packers that certainly has some good pieces with the defensive ends with Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons. But if there's any offensive line who can negate that, it's certainly the Eagles. One of the best offensive lines in the land. And also a rested Eagles unit that is an extremely physical team. Now you give them an extra week to recover and rest. And I feel like it spells, you know, a good recipe for success for the ground game. And especially since we saw Rico Dowdle of the Panthers rumble for 130 yards against his Packers run defense, what do you think this Eagles offensive line and Saquon Barkley are going to do on the ground? So to me, it's Eagles all night. I'm going to go with the Eagles on the money line as my best bet. So, Kate, let me ask you, do you care to elaborate? Are there any other reasons why you like the Eagles tonight?
Basically everything that you just said. I just don't trust the Packers offense quite yet. And especially with Tucker Kraft out. I just don't think that they're playing well enough on that side of the ball to win tonight. So that's one of my main reasons. I think the Eagles are coming in with some momentum. They're coming in healthy and rested, and they're going to continue to get better as the season goes on. I think that starts. Well, they've gotten a little bit better over the last couple of weeks, but that continues to grow tonight.
Yeah. All right. So what else are we adding to the card? Is it one and done for you? Do we settle on a prop here? Are you playing an anytime touchdown bet? Are you betting anything else tonight?
Yeah, bet this earlier in the week, so I'll give it out. I did Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown and Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown. Came out to +272. Might be a little lower right now because the Hurts touchdown price, I think, has dropped a little bit. But those two to score a touchdown are something that I really like tonight, especially with the Eagles wanting to utilize the tush push a little bit just to kind of shove it in Green Bay's face, because they were the team that tried to block that in the offseason when they were voting on whether or not to disband or ban the tush push.
Yeah, got to disband that tush push. And especially with that extra rest, it feels like it makes too much sense. And plus, Jalen Hurts is one of those guys that can run it in even if it's not a tush push play. All right, so here is a lean. It's not an official play, but this kind of goes along with my game hypothesis, is that I think the Eagles are going to run the football. They're going to establish the run, and then they're going to manage the clock later in this game by running the football even more. So Saquon Barkley, you get a pretty low number for him on his rushing prop, set at 78.5 over at BetMGM. We saw a last game where it was more of a game that you kind of expected from Saquon, where he rumbled for 150 yards, averaging 10.7 yards per carry. And he finally had one of those big long runs, had a 65-yard rush in that game against the Giants. And that's kind of what he's been lacking all season long, is he hasn't had those big breakaway plays that we saw all season last year, where his longest rush play was just an auto bet. So I think we see more of the same. I think the offensive line is rested. I think it's a big game from Saquon. So 78.5, this would have felt like an extremely low number for him last year. I think he can get it tonight. So I think we see a big game from Saquon on the ground as well.
I know he's coming off a really good game against the Giants, and that defensive front is also very good. But we haven't had that Saquon, like, true breakout game. 150 yards last week. That I guess that's kind of a breakout game. But only one touchdown. Like, how many games last year did he have multiple touchdowns over 100 yards? Like, it just feels like the performance hasn't, even though, like, numbers wise last week was great, it's still it still just hasn't had that like same pop from Saquon games that we've been used to. So maybe we get that tonight.
Well, I do think that it would feel like a breakout game for him because last time around it was against the Giants, which people look at the Giants and like, all right, enough of the Giants.
Right.
And plus, this is a primetime game. You know, everybody's going to be watching this, or at least the people who have found a way to pirate it if you're on YouTube TV.
Gosh. Yeah.
And you don't get ESPN just yet, which, side note, did you see this? YouTube TV is offering us a $20 credit. And I was like, I don't want $20. I want to be able to watch football on my TV instead of on my phone. But still, it feels like this would be the big moment. You know, if he has a breakout game in this one, this would be the moment for Saquon.
How can you watch it on your phone?
Certain sports books that shall not be named. If you make a live bet, no matter how small, you can watch it on your phone.
Oh, interesting. Okay, good to know. Yeah, $20. Keep your $20. Shove it where the sun don't shine. Just give us Monday Night Football. Although I have cable, so I can watch it regardless. Doing? But like in the studio on Saturday, where we have YouTube TV and there's all sorts of college football games on ABC and ESPN, like we can't watch any of those. How am I supposed to do my job?
I wonder if people who don't watch sports are like mad about this. Like, I don't know the programming on ABC, but like normal people are losing ABC as well, right?
That's true.
Like Dancing Bachelor, with the Stars.
Right? That's on ABC, Dancing with the Stars. Those Bachelor people are probably pretty upset. How do you have your Monday night Bachelor watch parties without Bachelor?
I don't know. I think, is it the Golden Bachelor now? Like, I don't know if that's his spot. I don't know the iteration of Bachelor that we're on, but YouTube TV, ESPN, I think ESPN's probably the problem. Like, I know YouTube TV's had several beefs with several, like, programming companies, but, like, ESPN, come on, man. You're not even in the golden age anymore.
No. We've dropped off a little bit of a cliff there. Yeah. All we want to do is watch football. Is it really that much to ask for? I don't think so.
Right. It feels like there's a divorce and like we're the kids and we did nothing to deserve this. Like we've done nothing and we have been faithful viewers and they're like, you're the problem. You need to pick a side. I'm 7. I don't want to pick a side. But we are picking a side in Monday Night Football and we do need the Eagles to win.
Let's go, Eagles, for both me and Kate.
So hopefully it's a nice, easy winner tonight at Lambeau. And hopefully Saquon Barkley has a huge game in this one as well, because that's definitely going into the same game parlays for me. For me, Chelsea Messenger, for Kate Constable, filling in for Jenks. Have a fantastic Monday. We hope all of your bets hit. We'll see you bright and early Tuesday morning here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military.
10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.